Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Psalm 19, 17 through 23. It is covering the letter Gimel in the Hebrew language. It's the third letter, so unlike in English where we go ABC, they go Aleph, Beth, Gimel is their third letter. And this is an acrostic psalm, meaning that in Hebrew, all the verses of 117 through 23 are going to start with the letter Gimel in Hebrew. Of course, we won't see that in English. But this is such a tremendous psalm, going through every letter of the Hebrew alphabet and having eight verses for each letter. And all of it really is about honoring and revering the Word of God. And, you know, being this is the Revering the Word podcast, it really is near and dear to my heart. I've always loved Psalm 119. You might recall that I mentioned in one of the previous letters we covered, either Aleph or Beth, that it was very clear that this psalmist was going through a very difficult time. And what a great thing that he did is that when he was going through a really hard time in life, he meditated on the Word and said, you know what I'll do? This will help me overcome my trial and my difficulty, and it'll help me to persevere amidst my difficulty if I write this psalm. And how about I write eight verses according to every letter of the Hebrew alphabet about how wonderful and great the Word of God is? And I'm sure it was of great comfort to him as he wrote, and now it's been comforting people from generation to generation. But you'll see throughout the psalm that he was dealing with something significant. And you see it right away here in verse 17. Deal bountifully with your slave, that I may live and keep your word. See, he's going through something, and he's wanting God to bless him. God, I'm a servant of yours. Please bless me. Please help me, that I may live and keep your word. I want to continue on living for you, God. And if you'll get me out of this, if you'll help me, I want to continue to live and keep your word all the way to the end. Hallelujah. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I just want to meditate on that with you for a moment. You know, I think that the amount that you read scripture and that you go to the word has a tremendous collaboration, a tremendous link to how you view the word. So, like, think about it. People in the world right now that aren't in the word at all, they don't value it. They don't honor it. They don't believe it's God's inspired word. They believe a bunch of lies that they don't even really know about. And as a result, they might not have a Bible, or they don't open it. It's collecting dust on a shelf. But there are believers who, they believe in Jesus, but they question the word, and they live their lives not really revering the word. And what this psalm would say to that person is, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I pray that people's eyes would be opened, you know, because, listen, there's not a better book. There's not a better word. This is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's so rich. It's so helpful. And it's spiritual. Like, you know, if we just took that in, open my eyes, like through the Holy Spirit, God, open my eyes that I may see and may value your word for what it really is. And I'll tell you what, when you value it that way, when you think this is the greatest thing that you can do is be in the word, and you see God's word as high and lifted up, It'll make you want to turn to it. And here's the thing. You'll get so much more out of it when you do read it, because you're coming to it with that view. Hallelujah. I am a sojourner in the earth. Excuse me. Do not hide your commandments from me. That's really interesting. You know, this concept, a sojourner is one who is not in their homeland and is in a different land. And Let me pull that up and read to you exactly what that means in Hebrew. It's the word gar, interestingly enough, I guess because we're in the letter G. But anyways, a sojourner, a temporary inhabitant, a newcomer, a foreigner in Israel. So a temporary inhabitant. So look what he's saying. I am a temporary inhabitant in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. What I want to share with you is that this gets brought into the New Testament. And, you know, gosh, I always say this, right? One of my favorite verses, but it really is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And just as Israel was chosen, it now says, but you are a chosen family, a royal priesthood. Do you know that you're a kingdom of priests, that God wants to use you as his minister to this world? A holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We're God's people now through faith in Jesus, so that you may proclaim the excellencies. And this is what we're here to do. Proclaim the excellencies of him, Jesus, who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, we were Gentiles and not really part of the true family of God, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we've become a child of the King. We've become part of the family of God, and we've actually got a foot in heaven. We actually have a foot. We've been promised the heaven above, and that really is our home. And this is what he says here. This is where I was going. Verse 11 of 1 Peter 2. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. He's saying, you know what? We can get into the fact that he wants us to turn away from sin, but he's saying, you are sojourners and exiles. Meaning, do you know what this means? We are not home. We are just visiting. We're just visiting. Our home is in heaven, and we're here. We're ambassadors. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're ambassadors for Christ. We've been sent from our homeland, heaven, to earth. We're a sojourner here. We're here to represent Jesus while we're here. And then one day we're going to go home with to be with the Lord. And that's what this gentleman here is recognizing in Psalm 119:19. I am a sojourner on earth. I'm just passing through. Do not hide your commandments from me. And what we need while we're here is we need the word of God to sustain us. My soul is crushed with longing for your judgments at all times. And what a demonstrative way to say it. Like he's just swept away by God's word. And he's just like, he longs to know and adhere and follow God. Verse 21, you rebuke the arrogant, the cursed who stray from your commandments. Well, you know, when you stray from God, there is consequences, especially when you stray from God and you begin to live in sin. Sin has consequences. And of course, people are under the curse of the law if they have not received Jesus because they have disobeyed God's law. So we see that here regarding the curse. They're cursed who stray from your commandments. You know, as much as we should see God's word as high and lifted up and grand, and as we'll see in a moment, delight in it, we also want to see the other side, that, you know what? I don't want to live in sin. I don't want to live astray from God's commands, because as good as it is to follow God, it is actually that bad to not follow. There's destructiveness and consequences that go with falling away from God and just doing my own thing. Take away reproach and contempt from me. There again, as I mentioned in the intro, that he's going through a hard time. And it's interesting because he feels as though maybe God's doing it. And you know what? I think there's a wide variety of ways in which we can experience reproach and contempt or, you know, difficulty on earth. And he's asking for God to take it away. And he says, for I observe your testimonies. He's saying, God, I'm seeking to be faithful with you. Will you take away my reproach and contempt? And sometimes it could be that God's trying to teach us something, that we're going through reproach, contempt. God's trying to humble us. God's allowing us to go through something difficult to purify us, to make us more holy. Sometimes it could be that it's because of our sin, that something we did wrong, that we're experiencing pain and suffering and difficulty on earth. And sometimes it's just life, you know, it's just, it happens. Like, part of the journey of life is suffering, and it's not like God's doing it, it's just happening. And sometimes it's just hard to know. But regardless, he wants us to observe his testimonies and to honor him and stay connected to Him, and I do believe the storm will be lessened, both in significance, most likely, but also in duration. I think God, seeing our faithfulness, can bring us through something much more quickly. And then he says in verse 23, "Even though princes sit and talk against me, your slave muses on your statutes." And you know, that's part of the lot in life. People are going to be against you. People are going to talk against you. People are going to gossip about you. People are going to say all kinds of false things about you. That's part of this journey in life. And your slave muses on your statutes. That's why we need God's word. You know, like, especially when we're going through that, when we're going through persecution or false accusation or people gossiping or slandering about us. You know, just go to God, go to His Word, know that your identity is in Him. And you know what? Man's going to be man. Don't be surprised by it. And continue to honor God, continue to follow Him, and find your sustenance, your identity. You know that you're a child of God and that He will help you through. Hallelujah. You know, everyone's going to go through it. Don't be surprised when man turns against you, because that's what happens in this life. It's going to happen, especially when you're standing with God. You know, your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. What a word. Your word is my delight. God, may that be true of all of us. May we delight in your word. Delight in it. Again, back to revering the word, back to seeing it for what it is, high and lifted up, holy, beautiful, righteous, good, helpful. And then it says, they are my counselors. You know, God's word, I tell you what, I, oh, how I need the word. I was trying to think, it was like several days ago. I was kind of, you know, sometimes I'll go through a bad day, or maybe a bad, like, half a day, you know, where my mind's not in the right place. And, you know, maybe angry about something or unforgiving about something. And typically my mind then is like revolving around something negative or something where I felt like I was treated unfairly, and I'm like, you know, maybe woe is me, or how could someone do this to me, or whatever. And you start getting kind of spiraling in your thoughts. And it was a few days ago, I think my wife was like, "Hey, are you okay? You don't seem right." And, you know, she was right, you know, but I'm like, "Honey, you know what? The word will help me. The word will get me through." And it does. You know, I just have to, and we have to, and I share that testimony hopefully to help you, is we have to assess what we're thinking about, and we have to realize that if we have stinking thinking, it's gonna impact us. And you have to recognize it. So you have to place your thoughts before God. And you have to say, okay, is this circular pattern of thinking that I'm thinking about, where I'm wronged or harmed or hurt or whatever, is meditating on that actually helping me? And the answer is no. And you know what we need to do is we need to go to God's word, and God would say, you know, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about such things, right? One of the reasons I have that passage memorized from Philippians chapter 4 is because I need it. I need to get my mind right. I need to have my hope in God and my mind on the future and not on the past. And, you know, meditating on past hurts is a sure way to get yourself into a pit. I hope you heard that. Meditating on past hurts is a sure way to get yourself into a pit. And the way to come out of the pit is to delight in the Word of God and allow Him to counsel you, and to focus on the future and how God wants you to be in the future and how He wants you to live for Him in the future. And you can't, God can redeem the past, but you're not going to change the past. The past is the past, but it's past. Listen, yesterday is gone. Life is now, and life is tomorrow. And let's live for the Lord. Let's delight in His word. Let's allow Him to counsel us. And let's get our thinking in alignment with God's word and not in our problems or our hurts. because God can, through the power of His Holy Spirit and the power of His Word, help us to rise up above the difficulties of our past, like this psalmist was going through difficulty. But you know what he did to overcome the difficulty? Is he delighted in the Word of God. May we do the same. May we every day delight in the Word of God. I'll tell you what, you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did, not only in this life, but you'll be blessed, not only in this life, but the life to come. God bless you all.